Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we welcome everyone to the Monday edition Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. It's great to have you with us. We'll see what this week brings with it after last week had its certain explosive moments. We're brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com, and we are closing in. In just two more weeks to the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, rescheduled for Wednesday, June 5th at the beautiful Susquehanna Valley Country Club. Kevin and I will be out there. Mark Mahoney, Drew Kelly, our foursome will be playing in the tournament, doing our best to help raise money for the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA, which is a great cause, and we're doing it for the kids. Sunbury Motors is a great sponsor of that golf tournament and also of this show because they are the ones that sponsor the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the good friends at Sunbury Motors have seen the ads that they've put out in print. Just saying straight out, you know, the Greater Susquehanna Valley Country Club, they do the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament for the kids. It means that much to them and also to the youth of our area, which is very important. You don't have a greater resource than that. The Hilshers General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilshers General Store, the 21st Century General Store, 7 miles south of Seals Grove on Routes 11 and 15. You can always go to www.hilshersstore.com. Stop in there. It'll be well worth the time. A lot to talk about. Big weekend. Preakness, of course, on Saturday. Plus, of course, the Indianapolis 500 qualifying field is now set as we get set for the Indianapolis 500 on Sunday, the greatest spectacle in racing. Before the week is out, we'll have Vince Welsh on the show from ABC Sports, working pit row. Vince joined us last year. He will join us on Wednesday for the show this week to preview the Indy 500. All kidding aside, we kid Kevin a lot about it. He gets excited about it, but it truly is one of the great events in the country, and we're proud to have Vince on the show Wednesday. First of all, here's Above the Noise with Dan Patrick.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the Central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Greetings, Mark Lawrence from WKOK's On the Mark program. Tomorrow morning, we'll hear from some conservatives talking about President Barack Obama and the IRS, AP, and Benghazi. It's OTM 8:30 to 10 a.m. tomorrow on WKOK and WKOK.com.
Phillies dramatically won yesterday with back-to-back homers in the ninth inning off Chapman, who evidently ate his way into the Hall of Shame.
That was funny.
All right, you've gone through a weekend at Indianapolis. So yeah. Go ahead. This is your moment. Tell us. First of all, nothing happened the last 2 hours yesterday.
No.
It could not have been any worse for the sport.
It was a terrible situation. And you got a feel for a guy like Michelle Jourdain Jr., who was trying to get into the field and didn't have a car that was basically safe. I mean, he tried every setup. He tried James Jake's setup, didn't work. Tried a Ray Hall setup, and Ray Hall gets in the car and he goes, this isn't going to work either. He said, this is undrivable. And they just could not get him up to speed. And because there were only 34 cars that were entered, he was the only one that was going to create a bump day. And bump day actually never happened. But I did some research over the weekend as well. You know, we talked about the fact that there are only 34, 35 cars available. There was even talk about maybe a 35th car. But it's about
I did no research.
Well, it's about $1 million for one race. I mean, that's what makes that's what makes Michelle Jourdain Jr.'s situation heartbreaking, not only for the driver, but now the team. They put together basically $1 million in this car, and it didn't make the field. And it wasn't even close to being able to make the field. And that's why you don't see the cars that you used to see at Indianapolis trying to make the field on bump day. I mean, Andretti already has five cars in the field. There's $5 million he's on one race. Now, for that team, it worked out well. All five guys are in the top nine. There's some serious money there. So now they're at the break-even point now before the race even starts. You have a guy like Ed Carpenter that's a one-man team. He's his own car owner and driver.
He's the stepson of the track owner.
So what are you trying to say? They rigged his car? Or they rigged the scoring pods?
Yes.
Oh, come on.
No, the whole thing. The whole thing's shady. I don't like it. And you hate the fact that I know it.
I hate the fact that you know it. You're right.
That's the part that bugs you. The part that bugs you is I show up ready. That's the part that drives you nuts.
Oh, that does a little bit. I must admit, I am quite impressed that you knew that, actually.
I mean, it's just, it's appalling.
But getting back to the point.
No, it's appalling.
All right, it's appalling. There, done.
Appalling, I tell you.
Now, a guy like that, realize when he was in, when they're fighting for the top nine, all right, they took the top nine, and then they re-qualified the top nine in this shootout session. Do you realize, do the math, you have five Andretti cars in there, three Penske cars in there. That's eight. He's the only guy that's not on a major team. And he gets the pole at Indianapolis for $100,000.
Stepson of the track owner.
That may be, but what's your point?
It's not a maybe.
I said that may be, but it doesn't change the point.
It's not a maybe. He is.
Okay, fine. That is the stepson. The point is, he did it without the major backing, and that's the kind of story IndyCar really needs right now.
His stepfather owns the track.
I'm sorry. I do not believe that his stepfather did that.
Major backing.
I do not believe that his stepfather rigged the pylons to work in his favor.
Look, his stepfather's not the owner of Jennerstown. It's Indianapolis. Okay?
It's the only thing you learned all weekend long, and that's what you're going to use the rest of the week, isn't it? It's the only thing you learned about the Indy 500 is Ed Carpenter. That's it. I mean, all right. Yeah, he's the stepson of Tony George. Tony George screwed up the sport, quite honestly. So, you know, if somebody's going to fix it, why not make it Tony George? Have somebody actually get in there and fix it up. I think Ed Carpenter is a great story in this race. Great story in this race. Came from Sarah Fisher Racing, another very popular driver among IndyCar fans. Turned owner. Then he moves in and decides to make himself the owner and driver. And now he's on the front row. That's what's making IndyCar this year a lot more entertaining. It's not the same teams and the same drivers winning week after week anymore.
This is the first oval they've run all year.
But can you say that about NASCAR?
That's the first oval they've run all year?
No, that it's not the same people winning and the same teams winning over and over again. I mean, AJ Foyt's racing team winning a race? That's unheard of.
First of all, NASCAR ratings are down. Attendance is down.
That's true.
Indianapolis, they will get over a quarter million, between 250,000 and 300,000 fans this weekend, because it is still a true event. It is also the last event for that sport this year. And I say that with all due respect to our good friends at Pocono. We want to promote their race very, very much and get people out to Pocono to see, because again, that's a tri-oval. That's where they'll be able to step on the gas and show what they really have. People want to see these little rockets go around.
Yeah, no, you're not saying anything wrong. You're not saying anything wrong. I think there are too many, and I said this the other day, I think there are way too many road courses, street courses on this series. I don't mind a few, and I would like to see three stay. But that's it. Just three.
For goodness sakes, get out to Brooklyn. Go to Texas. Okay? Find an oval in California.
Well, they have
this
Fontana.
This is what these people do. It's like left, right turn, left turn. No. Nobody's into that. Okay, if that were the case, Formula One would have traction in this country. Formula One has never had traction in this country. That's why running road courses is illogical. Go with what people love.
I would like to find, and this survey was done. I can't find the numbers, but I know they did it because they mentioned it on the broadcast. Sao Paulo, even though it's a road course, or even though it's actually a street course, was, by many fans' judgment, the best street racing ever in an IndyCar series. Because there was passing. There were passing all over the track.
Where is Sao Paulo?
Brazil.
Well said. Let's move on. All right.
All right. Is that not the best play? Is that not good for it? No, it's not in the States. But it's still a track that at least there were passing. I can't name one. Now, I will watch Monaco, all right? I will watch Monaco on Sunday morning.
I won't.
But there will be nobody passing anybody in Monaco after the first five laps are done.
I know. I'm saying we're not Europe. We're not South America. You have to cater to what the fans here want. They don't want that. I mean, you could talk about, oh, it was this, that, best, this, but people don't want to see that. They don't want to see that. They want to see the pedal to the floor, and they want to see that kind of racing. And also something that really has hurt the sport is that because it is so expensive, you have fewer cars participating. I think there was a race, I want to say it was Texas, maybe it was Texas, okay, which is a great speedway with a lot of speed on it, right? But they only had, I think, like 22 cars in the event. It looked like nobody was out there.
Yeah, that's sad. That is correct. But when you
NASCAR has 40 cars racing, for goodness sake.
Yeah,
but
that's a whole different problem there. You have 43 cars, and what annoys me about NASCAR are these guaranteed spots. I'm sorry, if you're not fast enough, gone. I don't care who your owner is or how many wins you have. If you're not fast enough, you shouldn't be in the race. And I hate these automatic bids deals that they have in NASCAR. And I know why they do it. They do it just so that the popular drivers don't get bounced out. Well, it didn't work too well in the Indy 500 several years ago for the Penske clan. And Indianapolis didn't change the way they did it just to make them in it, which was good.
You're really kind of a bitter guy.
You're just finding that out?
Today's show brought to you by, and again, as the positive voice of this show, Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
We'll talk about a variety of subjects today, not just racing. But here's an issue that has now cropped up for Danica Patrick. She's now starting to get booed at tracks. Just a sprinkle here and there, not massive.
I heard that Saturday night when they introduced her as the winner of the fan choice.
They're expressing outrage. She was voted into the All-Star race. They just don't think she deserves to be in NASCAR's All-Star race, and they're right. She has not earned the right to be in there. I mean, you know, you do it by vote, so you earn it by popularity, but in terms of performance, she hasn't earned it yet.
I totally agree with that. My question for NASCAR is, why have that then?
Well, look, when you have, how many races did NASCAR have in a year? 40?
Yeah, that's ballpark.
Okay. You have to come up with a gimmick here and there, like Watkins Glen's a street course. Okay, so you do that. I think you have an all-star race like this. You come up with something different every week, so you're not doing the same thing. How about that?
Oh, no, I like the all-star race, but I'm saying, and I love the way they qualified for it. They qualify with a hot lap, then you come in, pit, change four tires, go back out and do another hot lap, and that's how they decide the qualifying. I love that idea. That is really, it's really cool to see these cars come down pit lane, you know, with their foot to the floor, because that never happens anymore. But my question is, why have the fan vote if fans are just going to complain about the driver that was picked? Then don't have the fan vote then.
Well, how can you complain about the fan vote when the fans voted her in?
And they're the and you got fans booing about it though.
Well, that's the way. Look, she doesn't run well at that track to begin with.
Nope.
Okay, I believe her best finish is 12th. Correct.
I mean,
she did well. She did well at Daytona,
she
right?
She ran 12th.
Right. She finished 12th at Martinsville, but she's finished 25th or worse in her other nine races. And only twice all year has she finished on the lead lap. Okay? How about that? Those are the numbers I know.
And she finished 39th at Talladega wrecking early on.
Right. So she's had two good performances. Other than that, she has been a back of the pack, average at best. How about that?
I think that's fair.
Okay.
That's a fair assessment.
Of where she is. She is an excellent driver. You can't run the variety of races that she's run for, from the quality of Indianapolis to getting a pole, you know, to obviously being right there at Daytona. Okay. Without having some level of skill, although I've kind of felt that Daytona, she ran a very conservative race. I think she ran to finish and not to win.
That's a good assessment.
Just an opinion. I think she took on the Rocky Balboa, Rocky One mentality of, hey, look, I just want to go the distance. Nobody's ever gone the distance with Creed before, okay? And she did that. And then part of that is, I'm not so sure there's a total confidence in the style of driving in this series yet. How about that? Just from the outside looking in.
Yeah, I would say you're right. I think she's learned the draft a little more, and I think more drivers are willing to team up with her than last year. But, I mean, there's still something missing there. You're right.
And part of it's the car she drives, too. I mean, you know, I mean, let's face it, the vehicle figures into this. But, I mean, look, what does she have going? She is skilled. So she, you know, so, and she's out there and she's racing with the guys. But the bottom line is, too, she's also a beautiful woman. She's gorgeous. Competing in a man's world. And also, she has great appeal among female fans who quickly identify her, and kids identify with her. You know, kids identify with her. She does very well in surveys with kids. So she has a lot of pluses going with for her in terms of demographic, with critical demographics NASCAR is trying to attract. Because let's face it, female fans are going to be casual fans, and kids are, you're trying to get them ingrained into the sport. She helps in both those demographics. So when it comes to marketing and popularity and so forth, she does extremely well for the sport. Now, what I think where she's getting booed are from the diehards who are deeply ingrained in their passion for the sport. She, you know, in an era where NASCAR is not as popular as it was 10 years ago, still highly popular, but not as popular as 10 years ago. And ratings are not where they were of 10 years ago, correct?
No, there's no question about that.
All right, okay. She has helped. And if she were to do well, she could really, really help the sport. It's the so the casual fan is the one that makes the difference between a good rating and a great rating. The casual fan is the one that makes a big difference between a good attendance and a great attendance in anything. In anything. But it's the diehards. I'll bet they're the ones who are like, oh, great, she's in it. Come on. You know, they're the diehards. You already got them in no matter what.
Well, see, that's my problem with fan voting on anything, with fan voting for baseball's All-Star game. I think the fan vote should have something to do with it, but I don't think the fan vote should be 100%. And I think the same thing in the All-Star race last weekend. A fan vote's great, but you know, understand that if you're a fan of NASCAR, it's going to be the most popular driver, period.
Right.
No, that's just the way it is.
But I'm saying when you have 40 races a year, I think you try to come up with a gimmick here or there to get the fans involved. That's why it comes
about.
Absolutely. It's only one race a year.
No question. Yep, I agree with that.
I mean, to race at Charlotte on Sunday night, and there ain't going to be any fan vote. Okay, it's a little different ball game. But she is a great star. But she's not a great star for Derek Jeter reasons. Derek Jeter's a great star because he performs at a high level and wins. She performs at a level that it's acceptable to be in the sport, but is not great yet in the sport. I mean, she's a really good driver. You cannot call her a great driver. You can't.
She's a good oval driver.
Right. You know, but you have to win at some point.
Well, let me say this. Is that premature? Because even though she did do a nationwide series last year and limited Sprint Cup, she's still considered a rookie in Sprint Cup this year.
I understand.
Because she's running a full season. Now, would we have the same discussion with a rookie, with a male rookie? I'm not saying gender here, but I think gender has a lot to do with her popularity, I think it has a lot to do with her criticism as well.
Juan Pablo Montoya has some critics.
Why?
Because he hasn't run NASCAR the way he ran IndyCar. I think there were higher expectations. Tony Stewart set the bar pretty high.
Well, yeah, he was a very successful crossover.
You're right. He crossed over from one successful series to another. Now, here's the other part. IndyCar used to be where all the stars were. You know, for the King Richard Petty and all the great hype about the King Richard Petty winning 200 races in his career, he was a star in the sport. The stars were, at the time, not Richard Petty. They were Foyt, Andretti, Rutherford, Dallenbach, Unser. Those were the stars of racing. Okay? Stewart from Formula One, stars of racing. NASCAR drivers, Petty, Pearson, Allison, Yarborough, were not, in terms of a national recognizable stardom. It's now completely turned around. The stars of racing are now in NASCAR. Gordon, Stewart, Johnson, Earnhardt. She's crossed over. She's a star, but, you know, she's a star based on a lot of other factors besides just being a competent level driver. Okay? IndyCar doesn't have stars except for maybe, I think you say Castroneves is a star.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And
Castroneves is a star in part because he also parlayed it, you know, on Dancing with the Stars.
That's another great point.
But I mean, I'm just, you know.
No, you're right.
I'm just pointing it out, but it did show that, he had more appeal than just in the race car, and people did know who he was. And he has been this era's Rick Mears.
Rick Mears is what I was thinking,
he's been this era's Rick Mears. Okay. I mean, and if you had to pick a second, it would probably be Dario Franchitti.
But there's a guy also that did cross over into NASCAR but was not successful.
Right.
Now one that I think really, if he starts to win, could be a big draw for IndyCar is Marco Andretti, just on name alone.
No question.
And if Marco starts
I agree with that completely.
Now, he's already second in the points right now because he's driving much better.
And he's starting on the outside of row one, which is a great point to start.
He wins the 500 on Sunday, and it really changes the dynamic of the sport as far as popularity, because there's a name that you can market really easy to anything.
You can, but you have to start getting going back to Pocono was a huge, I'm telling you right now, it's a huge moment for the sport.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm telling you, it's a traditional track to run in that people recognize. It's a huge moment for the sport they need to capitalize on. All right. Now we got a lot of other things going on. Okay. I know we've talked a lot about this, but the Phillies had a great win yesterday. They're starting to play pretty well. They're back over 500 now. Galvis, I'm telling you, Galvis opens the door to trading Jimmy Rollins at the trade deadline if they need to.
You said that last year too. You felt that maybe he was a year away from that.
And if he can hit with some consistency, and of course he had the 50 game suspension last year for PED use. All right. But if he can hit with some consistency, gain some confidence, because he already is a sharp, sharp glove if they want to play him at shortstop. I mean, he is probably defensively a better shortstop now than Jimmy Rollins is. Just Rollins is a better professional hitter, without question. But Galvis's emergence, if he can do some things well at the plate, could open the door to the Phillies moving Rollins at the trade deadline if there's a need to.
But then again, the other side of me, Steve, as a fan, sits back and goes, but this is a 5-5 team in the last 10, so I have to be careful how excited I get.
I'm talking about the trade deadline here, moving Jimmy Rollins. I'm not talking about I want to watch Galvis further, that because if he performs at a decent level, now you're talking about you could get some people to maybe start changing the dynamics of what you have.
But is there interest in Jimmy Rollins right now?
Depends on who it is. I'll give you an example. I mean, I'll tell you right now. Say the Pirates are in the thick of this thing.
All right.
Okay? The Pirates have absolutely substandard major league situation at shortstop.
And you're talking about down on the farm as well, just in the majors.
All the way through. Okay? They don't have, that's the weakest part of that team. Your shortstop. I know Clint Hurdles, goes back to his Colorado days, and Barmus was his guy and the whole thing. I don't care if he's your guy or not. Okay, in terms of a major league level guy, he doesn't hit well enough, and he has very limited range. It's the weakest part of that team. They actually would need to make a move there, I think, if they're in the thick of the race.
And would they be willing to pick up a guy who has 1 year in his contract for $11 million?
Well, they wouldn't have to worry about $11 million.
Well, that's right. The Phillies would be responsible for that, wouldn't they?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing that I thought would be the issue, would be the final year. But I didn't think about that, but they would have that. Now, he also has a no-trade clause, not a no-trade clause, but a right of refusal clause.
He's 10 and 5.
That's what it's called. Thank you. I couldn't remember what the term was.
He's 10 years in the major leagues, 5 with the same team. So he's a 10-5 guy. So he can turn down any trade he wants. But I'm just saying that let's just watch and see what Galvis does. That could be a big moment for him. That could be a big moment for him. to do something like he did yesterday. Now, we'll all have to find out if there's anything, you know, more than just a singular moment. Because with a glove, he's a major league glove. Seattle leads Cleveland 8-7, bottom of the 10th inning at Progressive. Meanwhile, at Rogers up in Toronto, top of the 9th, the Jays lead Tampa Bay 7-3. Phillies play at Miami tonight should be a sweep.
You know that since 09, Jimmy Rollins has been hovering around the Mendoza line, with the exception of 11, where he did hit 268. And there's a guy who was near
he's
the
been
three.
Hovering at the Mendoza line's 200.
Yeah, I know, but he's just above it. I mean, he was around three for several years for the Phillies. I mean, in 04, 05, I mean, I'm just saying, production's gone down. That's
right.
My
point. He's a 275 hitter now, is what he is. I mean, that's down 25 points, and for that's a big drop. See, and last year was the year where if he wanted to prove long-term worth to the club, when they were down and out, they needed him to really pick it up. He never did. He did fine, but he never did compensate for other losses. Our number on the Hilsers General Store hotline is 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilsers General Store. Jason Johnson, by the way, sent us something on Facebook about bucket list things. What's on your bucket list of things to do? And he actually, part of his bucket list is he wants to be in the broadcast booth with Jack and me at some point. You've already had that.
I scratched that off my list, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it bugged you.
Didn't bug me. I thought it was intriguing to watch you guys work.
It bugged you.
Didn't bug me.
You didn't like the fact that like a half second before we went back on, we were talking about something else. That bothered you.
I tell you, it reminded me of sports night.
So what do you have? I mean, what would you love to do? Would you love to go to a Masters, Wimbledon, an Indianapolis 500, a World Series game, a Super Bowl? Would you like to get in the Mario Andretti two-seater? And take a few laps.
Only if Mario's driving.
Would you like to go to a U.S. Open this year? It's going to be down at Ardmore. Would you like to go to a British Open? Would you like to play around at St. Andrews? Would you like to walk on the field at Wrigley or Fenway Park? Would you like to go to Lambeau Field? I mean, what would you like to do? What would be on your bucket list? Would you like to hit one off the wall at Fenway? Would you like to sink a shot at TD Garden or Madison Square Garden?
I'd just like to hit the ball at Fenway. You know, not necessarily off the wall.
Yeah. Well, I've actually hit shots at Madison Square Garden, so.
Now, for me, it's you hit the two. I mean, it's obvious. I'd want to go to the 500, and I want to lap, at least one lap. In the car at full speed.
I actually went to the Indy 500 Museum, and they put you on a bus, and you go around the track.
Yeah.
There was only two of us on the bus, and the driver stops the bus at the stop finish line. He looks back and goes, "Hey, Steve, so you want to walk on the track?" I said, "Sure."
Oh yeah.
I walked on the track.
Did you touch the bricks? Did you touch the bricks?
Well, I walked in the bricks.
No, I would have touched the bricks.
I'll tell you right now before we get to the break here. The two things that strike you when you stand on the track at Indy. Number one is how long the straightaway is.
I believe it.
And number two, how narrow it is. Come back with more. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Well, last night was a classic, I think, coaching blunder in the Penguins-Ottawa game last night. You've been handed on a silver platter the game. Penalty called. You're on the power play. You're up 1-0. Okay? The last thing you do, you go on the attack and go at them. You don't have to take any shots, but But you get that thing in the zone and you tic-tac-toe that thing around to such a point where they're trying to, they're gambling to get to it. You know, kind of lay back and we'll just, it was kill some. No, you want the goalie to stay in there. You go at them. You're on the power play. You make them gamble. Instead, they played soft, not to lose, and they lost. Bad move. Bad move. And they lost?
Yeah, like around 12:15 last night. And I'm like, you know what? At this point, I want somebody to score. I want to go to bed.
Kind of a bitter guy, aren't you?
They got to start those games earlier.
But they did start earlier. They started at 7:30.
Then make overtime a shootout after the first overtime. Why do we have to go through a second one? That was torture.
Great, I'm with a soccer guy.